Are you a new ham? Ever been at a ham expo or ham fest? Well, we're going to take a deeper dive into the world of ham expos and festivals, so you'll want to stay tuned. Hello, and welcome to the Live Free Ham Podcast. Our bi-weekly show explores radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. Whether you're a regular listener or first-time guest, we're excited to have you, and we appreciate your support. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode. So let's get into a little bit of today's show. I'm your host, Eric, call sign N1JUR, and I'm here with...
Ryan, W1SNH.
And Todd, W1STJ.
All right, cool. Well, welcome back, Ryan. We're happy to have you here. It's been a little bit of touch and go there, but we're glad to have you back in the ranks here. And we're looking forward to a great conversation today. So stay tuned. But before we get into our discussion, we always want to catch up a little bit of our listeners to let you guys know what's going on and where we might be. So this one, we're currently going to be gearing up for our bi-weekly live stream. So you want to make sure you're always tuned into our YouTube channel because there's always something fun and exciting going on. And it's always a bonus episode in our regular rotation. So you don't want to miss that. If you can't attend the live show, you can definitely pull it down from our podcast. So as always, subscribe to our channel and hit that bell so you never miss a show. And so let's just kind of dive in. So what's been going on with you guys? I know there's a lot of talk on the back channels about what's been happening, but Ryan, let us know. I mean, you can't let the cat out of the bag there.
Well, sure. It's great to be back. A lot of travel for work, so it's always nice coming back home and getting caught up with everything. I'm proud to say I got my worked all states with POTA, so I was excited to get that.
Very cool.
And let's see, I was at a local estate sale and ran into a neighbor. He's a fellow ham and helped him put up two towers and antennas last summer. And he had just upgraded to a ICOM 7610. I'm like, great radio. You know, big fan of it. I currently use one. And he's like, yeah, I want to set it up for SO2R and this and that. And he's like, so I'm looking at buying another one. I'm like, you should let me know. I'm curious selling mine. You know, because I just need a reason why. And he turned around with his checkbook. And he's like, well, we live right around the corner from each other. Let's let's make this happen. So I went to this estate sale just to check it out around the neighborhood and ended up selling the ICOM. And I was without radio. Came back, hooked up the 7300. That's when I accomplished the work all states.
Wow, but with lesser radio.
You got on the 7300, huh?
Yep. But... then I was like, all right, it's still not going to cut it. What am I going to get next? So I went on to flexradio.com, and I got a previously loved Flex 6600.
Woo!
It was a nice purchase. So
now we're all on the same team. Like,
you know,
ICOM, Yaesu, we're all Flex.
And it's tough though, because so I'm under the gun to get some house projects finished. So I have it sitting in the box in the shack here, right next to me. Not hooked up.
Oh,
it's a little motivation to get the house projects done, and then I will switch gears here and start rerouting cables and everything else required to get that on the air. So it's going to be fun.
Wow, it's going to be like twofold. You're going to hook it all up temporarily for a little while before you start the shack rebuild too, on top of that too. Yes. So wow, that's pretty awesome. But you got something else, so you can't leave that other special gadget out of that mix too.
Well, so on the tower, I got several antennas. I got my big beam, the JK antenna 6BA, which gives me 40 through 10. Wonderful antenna. I have a 6 meter, 7 element beam. I got the NFED half wave. I'm looking at putting up a big NVIS square loop. You know, so I have a range of antennas, but right now with my antenna switch, I have to get out of the chair, go around the desk, and physically switch the antenna. Mm-hmm. So I figured, well, with the new Flex Candy coming into the shack here, I might as well get their new fancy 8x2, Flex branded antenna switch. Ooh. So that'll allow me to control it through the software, and it's pretty slick.
And I guarantee his 3.0 version will be computer. Point beam to heading 345 and tune into 6 meters.
Definitely going to integrate Node-RED and get the Stream Deck and just plug and play. You know, take it to the max. Dude, might as well.
That'd be awesome. And we will all make sure that we all have a recap of our flex episode. So Ryan can definitely throw his two cents in and we can dive a lot more. So we might even throw in a few other flex people that we know that have been very successful with their setup. So yeah, that'd be a big flex party, we'll call it, I guess.
There we go. Cool. Todd, how about you? What's new this past week?
Nothing much, not with ham radio. Just talking on the repeater. I've talked to you a few times. Just been real busy. Real busy week for me, work-wise and baseball. We've got about another, I think this is our last week. I know we have two more games, but looks like it's going to rain again this weekend. Big surprise here in New England. Rains every weekend. So I'm going to guess that if it rains, you know, the season will be over. But
well, don't you know, baseball players melt in the rain. That's why we don't play.
I know. Well, we were going to have practice today, and then 5 o'clock, you get outside, it starts pouring. I'm like, yeah, it's not going to happen. So I haven't really done much radio, and my flex has been working, but I haven't been able to hit it remote. Today was first, I was able to get on the iPad now, so that's good, but my phone's still not connecting, so I don't know what's going on. I got to do some research and find out why. I just got a new phone. I got the new iPhone 15. What is it, 15 Pro Max, so it's probably something to do with that. I'm working tomorrow night, so I'm looking to get it back on the radio, make some contacts. Haven't done it in a while, and need to get on it.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, so for me, I've been remodeling kitchens, sort of like doing house projects like Ryan, and trying to get all of those out of the way and manage contractors and stuff. But the bit of radio I have done has been just kind of when, you know, I either get a ham alert that 10 meters seems to be wide open, or I'm looking for a worked all, you know, states in the POTA world. I had a couple, actually 10 meters has been really good for the past couple of mornings, that I just happened to come down early and fired up, the sideband. And I, was making contacts with VK stations, New Zealand, trying to think of what else were, a lot of Europe, was coming in 5.9 plus 20. Everyone was commenting how great the bands were. And I think this past weekend, we had one of the Oceania contests, and VK stations were like, shooting fish in a barrel. They were so crazy busy and, looking for any, North America station that they could. And, they were hitting every state on the East Coast and, far west too from us. So that was really cool.
What time in the morning was 10 meters open?
Early? For me, it's been right around like 7:30 to about 9 sometimes. And if I can hit it really well, if the sideband doesn't work well, I'm always on FT8 and contact window opens quite big there for me. And then I had a couple of 10 meter openings that were late in the day, which was very odd because most of the time 10 meters is just dead. But that was, I think it was partially because contests, were going on and people were just, trying to get points and, get as many contacts as they could. So they were throwing a lot of power behind it.
Yeah. Every time 10 meters has been good during the day, overnight, it's just been dead. Like, it's just like, there's nothing. Mm. But that's when 20 meters kind of pops back up and is working really well. I also had a, last time I was on, 40 meters was doing pretty well, in the middle of the night. So that was kind of interesting. Sweet. Normally 40 is not working too well, but the other night it was. So
actually, speaking of that, this is kind of when this episode airs, it'll be a little bit past, but any of you guys participate in any of the solar eclipse piece at all?
No, I had totally forgot about it. It was interesting. I was driving up north with my son. We were going fly fishing, and I was looking back, and I'm like, it looks awful dim, but I just totally missed me that there was an eclipse that day. Totally forgot about it. I'm scratching my head. I'm like, why does it look so dark back there?
A fellow buddy of ours was doing some whisper stuff, but I kind of hopped on 10 meters just to participate in their QSO party, and it was very funny to be part of it because everybody who was chiming into these stations, the exchange was 5.9, and they wanted an accurate signal because they were obviously using this for measurement purposes as well as a contest. They wanted an accurate signal. They wanted your state, and then they wanted your grid square specifically. And I can't tell you how many times the operator who was, basically calling CQ on this would have to go, your grid square, hold on a sec, let me look it up for you. And everyone would be like, oh yeah, I remember my grid square. I'm like, you're sitting in front of a computer, hopefully, you have this stuff written down. Like, okay, yeah, I know my grid square. And, you know, the only mistake I did was I kept spinning the dial instead of just kind of, you know, remembering where I last, you know, had a QSO or whatever. And my AC log was acting up. It wasn't like pulling up stations I was already pre-typing in. So I was like retrying to contact stations I already did in the QSO party. I was like, he's like, yeah, I already worked you about 15 minutes ago. I'm like, oh, sorry. Like, I'm really foolish.
Well, Bill said on the net the other night, he had like something like 20,000, I don't know what that whisper things. So he didn't know how well that was, but he was just glad to be able to submit the data. So yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We should definitely have him on to kind of talk about once he figures it all out and, you know, gets a better idea, because I think there was some real good benefit to understanding, you know, how that works in the solar cycle and you know, whether a partial eclipse or a full eclipse can, you know, impact radio propagation, which is, you know, kind of an interesting thing for me to talk about because I have absolutely zero understanding of it outside of just that I know there's an eclipse. So cool. All right. Well, hey, so let's not dilly dally anymore. Let's kind of dive into tonight's topic a little bit. We were kind of, you know, in several different side conversations with people and on repeaters and nets and stuff like that. And because just has when the show airs, it's already passed one of our local ham fests that happens twice a year. Came in and has passed. And so, you know, we felt we wanted to kind of figure out, as you know, you're a new ham, you know, you're hearing these buzzwords like, you know, Ham Fest and expositions and all of these kind of conferences and trade shows that we all attend, if, you know, they're not so much trade shows, but, you know, so we wanted to kind of give the new ham a little bit of a primer on, you know, what to expect in you know, what a ham fest might be. And, you know, if you're maybe, you know, we'll talk a little about the idea of like, okay, if you're maybe in the market for a new radio because you just got your technician license, you know, what to kind of be concerned with or what to expect when you go to these fests and, you know, what not to, you know, look for and so forth and so on. So let's kind of dive in. So let's frame this out a little bit. What do we think? You know, we really kind of have like a couple of different types of expositions and you know,
yes,
kind of throw in, you know, if I'll rattle off the ones I know, and if we missed anything, we'll just kind of go back around it. But we obviously have like the typical festivals or what we call flea markets, which are usually local. They're smaller, we could say regionals, but they're more kind of situated to the state that they're in. And then there's more of a regional event that's a little bit bigger, may not be so festival or flea market like, although it might have a component to that, but that's got, you know, more functions and capabilities for conferences and understanding and knowledge. And you know, you see a lot more bigger vendors show up to that. And then you've got the larger area kind of conferences, like, you know, you may hear words thrown around like, Dayton and, Hamvention and, you know, Hamcation, all of these big areas, that none of us, we can talk around, but we've never been to, but we'll definitely kind of give you a frame of reference of what might you expect out of that. And you can obviously experience some of that in the YouTube world. But so did I miss anything in terms of, you know, kind of those being the formats?
No, I think that's accurate. And, you know, some of them would definitely gear much more towards seminars and symposiums and having, you know, educational bend to it versus, you know, other flea market style ones where there may be a few speakers, maybe a ARRL, you know, representative there, but the main thing there is to walk the aisles and see, you know, what you can pick up.
Right.
So it's helpful to know what type of event it is when you're going to it.
Totally. Yeah. And I think that that's a big key indicator when you're, you know, starting out, is that when you get into the, hey, I'm all jumping in the same car, we're all going somewhere, we're all going to go to an event, you know, what in from your experiences? So if we'll start at the small little festival realm. What have your experiences been when you first started going to them? And what did you kind of, you know, what was your kind of first take expectation of those, you know, and where you are today and how do they compare and contrast?
Well, I think it's important to, it's kind of like going, you never want to go grocery shopping hungry.
So, yeah, good example. Now,
so when you go to these flea markets, if you truly need something for the shack, you know exactly what you need. And then you can be much more specific on when you're walking the aisles looking for something. But I mean, there's been many times I've been walking through on at Nearfest and it's like, oh, that's cool. That's neat. But do I really need it? Most of the time, no. It's nice to have. Mm-hmm. And you know, things, small things, let's say coax connectors, you know, I'd probably spend a little bit more money, buy one from a known vendor, a known quality, you know, product, and put that in my shack versus the bag of 20 for $5.99 at the guy's booth down aisle, you know, B7, you know. So probably wouldn't spend money for that. We do have a club member. I really like his approach. He'll purposely go looking for unmarked resistors and capacitors and this, and he'll just grab a big bag of them. And, you know, he takes the approach of with his test equipment, he'll go through and test everything and, you know, try to figure out what it is. But that's a unique approach. Being a new ham and going there looking for your first radio. I personally, I wouldn't recommend that. I would do the research, figure out which radio you want, and then go to one of the local vendors, whether it be, you know, HRO, DX Engineering, whichever one online, and purchase there versus buying a used one thinking you're going to get a good deal. And you very well may, if you know exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually good approach. Good sound advice. I mean, so Todd, in your experience, you know, what was, you know, obviously you being probably a little newer than Ryan and I in terms of, you know, festivals and stuff, like what was your experience when you went to Nearfest or just in festivals in general? And, you know, kind of what did you take away from those things?
Well, the first time I went to Nearfest, I didn't know what to expect. I thought it was going to be more like, you know, vendors of, like, I thought Icon was going to be Yaesu, and obviously it wasn't like that. It was more like a, like you said, a flea market. I didn't really buy anything the first time around. I think I just walked around and kind of absorbed it all. There's a lot of cool stuff there, a lot of stuff I had no idea what it was. One thing I did notice is if you're a collector of antique or older radios and stuff, there's a lot of cool stuff that you could buy. Probably for a fairly good deal. Or if you're into refurbishing stuff, another good place to go to get a lot of stuff. I like it for the networking. You meet a lot of people, you talk to the vendors. I think that's a plus. You get to meet people. I met some of the guys that I've talked on the radio that are run nets and stuff that were there, and I'd find them that guy, Brian, W01VES, right? I'd never met him before, and then we met him there for the first time. So, but that's, you know, that's really what was my thing. Now, when we go up to Marlboro, that was a whole different experience for me. The first time is when I actually took my general test, and that's really all I got out of it. I took my general test, got my general, and then we were pretty much out of there. And then this past year, we had a booth and we were doing the podcast. So we're doing some live stuff. And so that was a different experience. I think at some point in Marlboro, I'd like to go down there and actually sit through some of the seminars and, you know, see what it's all about. But I've only been down there twice, so I haven't seen that. And I am looking forward to, you know, going to a big ham convention with all the vendors there to see all the new stuff and get to play around and demo everything. So I think there's all different types, and like out of those three, you know, I haven't any experience on the lighter one, but the other two, I mean, Nearfest is local and it's kind of cool to go to, but it is something that we have to, you know, you have to, like, I agree with Ryan, like you have to know what you want to get. You know, it's nice to browse and, you know, maybe you'll find some, but do you really need it? The last time we were in Marlboro, I was looking for dummy load. I couldn't find one. And we were at Nearfest, you got one, and I was like, oh, that's a good deal for a dummy load, so I might as well get one, because I needed one when my Yaesu finals went out, so for testing, so I figured I'd get one, and nope, didn't have one, so
yeah,
I looked.
Very interesting. I mean, Ryan's strategy was kind of like very much like, I'm going in, you know, with the intention of, like, you know, you got to understand what you want, got to do the research, got to do the kind of the pre-stage stuff before you even get to some of these festivals. And then you can minimize a lot of the noise, we'll say, because a lot of those, you know, as Ryan says, like, you know, parts or trinkets or connectors, we all need them in some form or fashion. And we all probably have a box full of the junk ones we got from the Ham Fest from previous years that have either fallen apart or broke or whatever, or just like they're parts to parts of other parts. So, you know, it's good to see that. And then, you know, you got the social aspect. And so I'm kind of like in the middle of this. And so my early on when I first started going to some of the, it was what we had around here was Nearfest. It was Horse Traders way back when. And that was like when my teens and whatnot. So when I went, I was just like totally wide eyed. I'm like, okay, I need to get an HT. And you know, the problem with when you go to these festivals is like Ryan said, you're going to see a lot of boat anchors. You're going to see the Motorola booths full of like used Motorola gears to the coming out their ears, which, you know, if you don't know any of that stuff, it might look all shiny and nice, but there's a whole like ecosystem that you have to invest in and drink the, you know, the Kool-Aid to be able to, you know, run a Motorola radio. It's not really sort of like plug and play, mm-hmm. you know? So you got all of those. And then you've got everybody's flavor of radio, you know, that they all think is, you know, well worth more than what it was new, especially when you go to the Hamfest. And that was always my big turnoff when we first started, you know, I first started going was just like, you go there and you're like, I could go down to HRO, which we have the luxury being here in New England to drive, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes to go to a store like HRO, where someone may not, like, you know, they're from New York or Maine, that may take a little longer for them to get to it. So, you know, they have to kind of use the internet to, you know, kind of get the feel. But like Ryan suggested, I think, you know, if you're a new ham, and that's kind of where we're focusing this a little bit, is that if you're in the market for a new radio, a lot of times festivals are not the place to get them because they're going to be asking top dollar. They're going to always say that they've have been gently loved, non-smoker, and mm-hmm. have been in the box in the original packaging since day one, which we all know sometimes you can get a really good deal, but I think, you know, you're going to walk away kind of sad because 9 times out of 10, you know, they're just, you know, they're passing off, you know, something that's been passed off to them that they got it, you know, for whatever reason.
Well,
so,
well, was I with you, Eric, and we were looking for we saw the repeater and you opened it up and it was like a mouse was living in it or something.
It was a DR2 repeater. It looked brand new. The box looked in mint condition. You opened up you look at the front of the repeater like, wow, this is great. And, you know, they only wanted like $500 for it. I'm like, that's a steal for a repeater, especially a DR2. And I'm like, the guy's like, yeah, it just came out of our other, chassis. And we just didn't, you know, in wherever it was. And you open the chassis and it was like rust on the inside. Like it looked like it went through a flood. Literally, it was that bad. And the guy's like, oh, I don't know what the condition was. He said it was really good and it was working when he pulled it out. I'm like, hopefully he didn't pull out while it was live because he probably would get electrocuted.
Yeah. Well, down in Marlboro at the Ham Expo, a real nice feature they had at one booth was they had a power supply, they had test equipment.
Oh, nice.
So you could take that piece of equipment that you think may or may not work and you can hook it up and test it right then,
right
before you leave the show.
Yeah, which is
awesome. I thought that was a really nice feature.
Yeah, I wish they had that. I don't think they have that at Nearfest is not kind of the place for that to happen, I don't think.
Yeah, no, you'd have to walk in with a backpack and your battery and a dummy loader. Or,
oh,
you know,
God, yeah. They have a bunch of people that have antennas set up, but the Nearfest is sort of like the, we'll say, I'm trying to think of a good festival, like music festival. A lot of people show up. It's like a 2-day event. And so if you're looking for the places to kind of go and have, like, as Todd said, you know, social aspect, you know, interactions with folks, meet new people, you know, talk about the hobby and stay overnight because, you know, they allow that in that type of festival, that, you know, that may be attractive to you and an opportunity. But if you're just really like, okay, I'm going for the radio, I need to get ABC radio, and you kind of have an idea what you want, because I, like, when I first started and I went to Nearfest for the first time, I was on the hunt for a radio, HF radio. So I was in the same similar experience, but I knew that my budget was, you know, $500. That was where I was going to draw the line. And so I was running through the market and I was looking for a Yaesu FD450 because I knew it had the, you know, it was all solid state. It was a good radio. I did, like Ryan said, the research. So I knew what to look for and I knew what to look for physically when I was looking at the radio. So when I wandered up to a 450, I'd be like, oh, okay, that, you know, is in good condition. Well, when we met our, you know, fellow, you know, friend and cohort, you know, at the festival, he was like, oh yeah, I happen to have a 450. And so I think the benefit to a lot of festivals, although it's great to see the stuff there, you also might want to think about networking, like Todd said, with other people and see if they have radios of their own in their own shacks that they'd be willing to sell you for a better deal. And you know, they're a little bit more, you know, loved and taken care of in some cases. So that might be a benefit to do in terms of, you know, thinking, you know, outside the box a little bit when you're looking for your new radio as a new ham.
Yeah, and the networking's great. I mean, you definitely start putting faces with call signs on the radio, and it's neat to meet all the local people.
Oh, totally. And how many times when you walk by somebody, you hear their voice and you go, who's that person? You know who it is, but you've never seen them, and you just know by their voice.
Yes.
And Todd's smiling, because we all know that Todd's, you know, he hears their voice. It's like, oh, yeah, I know that guy, no problem. Can't remember his first name, but I know his call sign.
I know his call sign. I have no idea what he looks like, but I know who that is.
Yeah, so go ahead.
No, the, I was just thinking, like, when you were talking about, you know, buying stuff, well, sometimes at Near Fest, HRO is there. Yeah. And I forget what I was looking for, but they didn't have it there, but they had it at the store. So as soon as I left Near Fest, I just kept going down 93. I just went all the way down. And I'm like, oh, just at Near Fest, you didn't have this, but I want to buy it here. So
that's
that was the, that was kind of cool.
And one thing I always look for, but on the smaller local ham fests, you know, they just don't have the manpower to, you know, go to all the smaller events and get the booths going and have a presence.
Right.
So I've not been to a large, you know, Dayton type ham fest, but I'm excited about going. I think it'd be great because all the big vendors are there. You get to see the latest product releases. They have seminars. They have huge flea markets, and you know, you can make a full, I'd say, 2, maybe 3 days out of the event.
Yeah, and they're multiple buildings, so you end up having to like kind of do it like a Disney World tour where you do a section, you know, a day or whatever. So there's definitely a lot more of that. So funny thing is, has any of you guys like, so most of these festivals we talk about, they usually tend to have some form of like a seminar, or they're talking about, you know, a class, not so much training class, but they have a forum, you know, they call them their forums. Any of you guys ever attend any of those at all at a local level or a regional one?
I have, yes. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's informative. You get to see, it was, I want to say going on 2 years ago when we had the regional voting for ARRL, mm-hmm. and it was, you know, it was good. Get to see the different candidates before you vote for them. And,
oh, cool.
So,
okay. How about you, Todd?
No, I actually haven't. That's what I said in the beginning. I wanted to, you know, maybe the next Marlboro Ham Convention, I'm going to go and see which one I'm interested in, maybe go to it. So, yeah, I haven't. But the only seminar I was really in the rooms there was when I was taking that test.
The test. Yes.
I went in, took the test, and walked out with a big smile on my face.
Yeah, I haven't done it at the local level, although I know Tim, you know, one of our cohorts who was on previous episodes, you can go check him out. He very much takes in a lot of that whole, we'll call ambiance and experience. And so I'm sure he did it this Near Fest that was in October, and, you know, took a lot of the forums. And I really only did it at the regional level because I had the same similar, you know, feel like you, Todd, that, you know, I wanted to kind of experience that part, because the last time I went to it, I just kind of did the typical flea market, walk around the vendor area, and then we were off to lunch, you know, kind of deal, and more doing the social aspect. I think this year we did, I went over to watch the forum on Radiocraft. We had, you know, Lucas early on, if you haven't got that episode, he's did a great live show with us and talked about Radiocraft. And, you know, so I went to go see that and see it in action, and got to meet him, and really cool guy. And, you know, it was interesting to be part of something that was a little, you know, kind of absorbing more than I was like kind of just giving or just trying to get. So, you know, I would strongly say, you know, doing that is definitely something you probably want to put on your bucket list. If you were definitely a new ham and you're looking for trying to figure out what you want to do. I know one of the things that, you know, we all struggle, especially trying to figure out what we want to do in the hobby, especially as a new ham, you know, where do we go? What do we play with? And those forums might be a good, you know, place for you to kind of pull some new information or gleam a bit of something that you didn't know about before in the hobby. And, you know, and they would be the experts to talk to, you know, in terms of how to get started. So, you know, definitely mm-hmm. into that. So in terms of like, do you guys have a strategy? Let's talk just a little bit about the nuts and bolts in terms of finding stuff. Now, we kind of, Todd had mentioned when he didn't, you know, and I'm the same way, and Ryan, I'm sure you are, that when, you know, you have some of the vendor, large vendors like HRO or Quicksilver or any of those big guys there that, you know, sell all the mainstream parts and power supplies and stuff, you know, that usually tends to be the, the last ditch effort of, you know, okay, I can't find it anywhere else at a used, you know, table or whatever. I'm just going to go buy brand new type thing and bite the bullet, because that's, you know, what you want to have instant gratification. Well, I'll admit it. It's really why we, you know, do it. We don't want to walk out of there empty handed, and that's kind of what we do. But what's your strategy when you're looking for certain things at a, you know, at a flea market or a ham fest? You have a process, you go scan everything, or you just kind of walk around and you just kind of like let fate, you know, find its way? Or
I'll one of two ways. Either I'll do a quick walkthrough and kind of scan everything quickly, but if something does catch my eye and I truly want to get it, I don't wait, because if it catches my attention, it'll probably catch someone else's attention, and it's gone if I come back 30 minutes later.
Okay.
So if I see something, and if I have the cash in my pocket, I'll start haggling with them.
So you are
negotiate a little bit, you know, I'm not super aggressive about it, but if I really want it, I'll, you know, present the cash and walk away with it. So,
okay.
So I'd say the strategy is, if it's caught your attention and something you really want, then make it happen, because it'll probably be bought by someone else pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How was your take on that one, Todd?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably say the same thing. I haven't bought much from, you know, the flea markets or whatever. I did buy some ham sticks one year. Mm-hmm. But I was in the market for them. So I knew they were a little bit cheaper at Near Fest. So I knew what I was looking for. But I agree with Ryan. Like, if you see something that catches your eye and you just have to have it, you might as well just get it. You know,
what's the point? Or your best friend next to you says, hey, you need to have this one, like the Jankopata.
Yeah.
Because remember that guy, we were over there like, oh, hey, POTUS stickers, and let's buy five of those. And then, oh, wait a minute, we got the Jankopotamus that, you know, Ham Radio 2.0 and everybody else has been talking about, blah, blah, blah. Oh, is that for sale? Oh, yeah, I'll sell them to you for $60. Well, we'll buy both of them for $120. No problem. Yeah. No problem.
And then we got the antennas and everything else. So like that was that was like impulse buy, but it was like things that I wanted, but didn't have, you know, I didn't expect it to be there, and that guy had them. So I was like, sweet.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for me, like I tend to, and it's probably just because of my conditioning, but I usually will put together a list that like the night before, a couple of nights before, of like all the things I need around the shack, or, you know, have on my to-do list that I could run down to HR or you know, buy on DX Engineering or something like that. And if I haven't bought it before then, you know, that's kind of the list. And I usually tend to just go in, and I'm more about the social stuff initially, because I like to be able to just meet up with people and, you know, take in the whole experience and walk through. And I find, you know, last year I did recording of my video for Nearfest and on my channel, and I was very surprised, because I didn't know what to expect with people and how they would interpret, you know, video camera kind of around. They were very, very welcoming and very like excited to be part of the process. So walking around and just having conversation, cool. You know, I got to meet a lot more people than when you just kind of do the kicking tire, walking by stuff. When they see you got a camera in your hand and you're video recording, they're like, oh yeah, you know, hey, come on over. And like, I talked to Jay, who's the New England Ardent contact for most of New England, and he was, you know, getting into how he's setting up all of his Ardent stuff, and, you know, but all of those booths that we normally just kind of go by and just, you know, kind of cursory glance at, you know, it opened up the doors to have more conversations. So that once I got through that, I think I did the second round again. I'm like, okay, I got my list. You know, these are the top five things I got to be looking for. I remember sort of where they were and in what areas. And then, you know, like if I went a couple of years ago in the fall time, there was just very little. And it was raining or one of those days. I can't remember which one it was, fall or spring. And it was raining. So it wasn't really like super like, hey, I'm going to come out with anything. And I think I was like, all right, I'll go over to Quicksilver, buy a couple of connectors, because I know I need a couple of 90 degree elbows or something like that for my POTA bag. And then that's when, you know, we were hanging out and we stumbled upon I don't think he even was selling those laptops or anything. Like, he was just selling other stuff. Oh no, he was actually selling his antennas, right?
Yeah, he was selling those antennas. And, you know, that was another thing. I was looking for, you know, I wanted a Pactena. Yeah. And, you know, they're never in stock. And then this guy has them. And I'm like, seriously? Like, that's it? He goes, yeah, and you can pick this. And I was like, done. And then we ended up getting the two radios and stickers. And, you know, we got a good deal on it, because he's like, yeah, just give me like $100.
Yep.
Or 150 or whatever.
You wanted to get out of there fast. That was for sure. So that's back to Ryan's point, it's like, if you can get a guy to, who wants to just get out of the stuff fast and they don't want to bring it home, you know, it's okay to haggle a little bit if you can, or maybe you can just bundle stuff.
Cause he was like from Syracuse, or was he?
Yeah,
but I think he was like from like Western New York. So I think he had a drive.
So he's not bringing anything home if he doesn't have to. I think I ended up, that's Jankopotamus laptop. And if you don't know what we're talking about, you can go over to Ham Radio Crash Course and look up Jankopotamus, and you'll find that that's cheap $60 Lenovo laptop, or not Lenovo. I can't remember who makes it. But it's very a big popular hit because it runs on 12 volts. So, you know, as of charging and everything, that's the benefit. But yeah, I ended up buying that as an impulse because I was like, oh yeah, I have it. But I brought it home and I'm like, I'll put two stickers on it. And then I was like, it just sat there. I didn't use it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to give this to Tim because I know he can use it.
mine's still in the box.
You're even worse than me.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's sitting here on my desk. I'm like,
You might want to pull that to Paul, because he was actually interested, because I mentioned to him when we were Poto. He's like, yeah, I've got this old iPad. It doesn't really work cell-wise. And I was like, well, Jacob Potters might be good for that.
Well, I got it because really it's for when I decide to do FT8 on Poto. Mm-hmm. That's the whole reason I bought it. So that's why it's in it. But when I ever do FT8, I don't know when I'm going to do FT8 on Poto. Who knows?
I have a feeling you'll be doing FT8 from your Go box, but yeah. And it'll be a Christmas laptop.
Yep.
So, all right. So we've talked a little bit about some of the traditional festivals that are local and a little bit of the regional stuff. And we obviously mentioned and teased the fact that there's, you know, obviously the regional ones, area ones that we all have not been to, but, you know, you can go on YouTube and, you know, live the lives of the rich and famous YouTubers who get a chance to go to like Hamvention and all that. Like, but it's not much different in the sense that, the type and format is the same as a local festival, but it's on a larger scale. I mean, literally larger scale. Yes. Like they are at like fairgrounds that they have livestock and 4-H fair, you know, kind of regional thing. So if you ever get a chance to go there, and if you do and you get a free ticket, just ping us. We'll love to come with you. Definitely take it all in, because what we found and what we've seen, and we talk a little bit about it, is that a lot of the big vendors like ICOM, Yaesu, Flex, all those guys show up, and they show up big. It's like a big, you know, hey, what are we going to release? And I think like the last one at Dayton, like Kenwood finally showed up on the floor and, you know, showed their latest rehash of the D74, which, you know, is kind of their duplex HT. And so, you know, those things are definitely worth, you know, catching, and you're bound to always get, you know, the latest and greatest hardware if you want it, because the vendors are really hot, you know, to sell that stuff, and they'll have it in you know, big supply, whereas, you know, you might not see that at a local festival or whatnot, which, you know, it is tough. And like Ryan mentioned, it's definitely one of those things that they have to make a decision. So they may not go 1 year, and they may go another year, or, you know, they may have to go, you know, ship hardware and stuff to a larger event. So something to keep in the back of your mind. But is there anything else at the local festivals that you guys, you know, have seen or been a part of that you want to, you know, kind of bring to light to let people know that it's not just a bunch of people showing their boat anchors, that there is more than outside just the forums and stuff?
One thing that always catches my attention that I think's really cool, I'd never own one just based on space or, I guess, practicality, but a lot of people, several people show up with totally decked out all-purpose vehicles.
Oh, yes.
Where they, you know, they have the multiple antennas and the four-wheel drive and the spare fuel tank and tires and 5 different radios hooked up and solar panels.
Like a bug-out car.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And some of them are, they're pretty crazy. I mean, it's impressive how much thought and work that goes into them.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
it's a lot of sleepless nights with those things, but
yes,
not great on gas mileage and definitely not, you know, versatile for like a grocery getter.
No, not at all. So it would not be my daily driver, but it's neat to see them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I've kind of got that one experience, the EOC van, well, it wasn't the emergency communications vehicle. We kind of stumbled upon it. We were just walking around and we bumped into a guy who had because I was, you know, taping for the channel, he recognized it and he was like, oh, you know, willing to chit chat about it. But they had a converted TV vehicle with the full mast, expanding mast, and everything else like that. And they had everything HF, VHF, UHF set up all in the rack, all, you know, tailored. And they were like, oh yeah, our club got this, you know, for free. And he went into the whole dissertation of how they acquired the vehicle and how the clubs, you know, kind of.
Yeah, wasn't it in a movie or something?
Yeah, it was in some.
It was in the movie about the Boston.
The bomber.
Marathon bombing. It was one of the news vehicles that was a prop. Yeah. But it was functioning, you know, it had like the tower or whatever built into it. But the one thing that I noticed, because we were talking about like, wow, we should get one of these for like our, you know, we always joke around. We found how much was that fire truck? Like
20 grand or
$200.
Oh, yeah, $200? No. Oh, it's cheaper.
$2,000. It was very, very, very affordable.
Yeah, but so there's a fire truck that had a big ladder on it. We're like, oh, we got to get this for field day. But the guy was telling me, he's like, you know, he goes, you know, the problem is you have to insure it and maintenance and all that kind of stuff. He goes, it's actually costing the club more money than we can afford. So they didn't know what they were going to do with it. But it was pretty cool. It was all, they had all kinds of radios and antennas and basically drive it anywhere and start going. So.
Yeah, it's kind of a dream of mine of our club. Eventually, we'll, you know, get into that stage. It'd be fun to have for sure. Even just to even pull a trailer around for that, you know, purposes, because, you know, we could use it in many ways. But yeah, it's
definitely resources. At these local fests, you can compare notes with these people who have them, and you can say, oh, that's neat. That's a cool idea. You know, nice to have.
Yeah, it's a dream, but
it's like, you want to buy it? The guy's like, you want to buy it?
Like, yeah, how much? $20.
Yeah.
And then we usually, when you're going to these fests, you know, obviously you're looking for something a little bit modern a lot of times, but we did touch upon a little bit about the old Boatanger crew, and I don't think any of us really collect any of that stuff here today yet. Not that we won't fall into that trap later, but that tends to be, you know, the draw a lot. Although the one draw that it's been surprising for me for the last couple of festivals was that there was a lot of used Motorola gear, in the sense that it was tailored for the public service bands and they were still active in the digital realm. So DMR. And so a couple of the booths that I wander upon, the guy was like, oh yeah, well, we can't technically use these bands. And I'm like, okay, well then I'm walking this other way because I don't want to be anywhere in this equipment.
Remember that one guy, he had it in the back of his car.
Oh yeah, it was crazy.
And it was like a whole, and it was like a total, like,
you had a full pirate DMR radio. Full DMR P22 or whatever, the interface, all of it digital, all of it tied into the public service, you know, environment. And I'm like, so you can't use this on the ham bands? He's like, well, yeah, we sort of, but right now it's just set up for public service. I'm like, okay, excellent. Well, thank you for the demo. Let's move along here, just for the purposes of, I don't want to be tied to anything you're doing right now. So, yes. But yeah, so the Boatanger, I mean, there are some fun stuff with it, but, you know, what's your experience? You tend to walk by a lot of that stuff. You just kind of, you know, have no idea what you're looking at.
I wouldn't have the space or the knowledge on how to work on it and how to fix it up. So it's a novelty for me. You know, several times over the wintertime, you listen to the guys on 75 meters on, you know, they're broadcasting AM and, you know, they're very proud of their AM gear and it's cool stuff, but to get the full setup and to do it properly, like these guys are doing, I mean, they have rooms full of just old gear. And there's, you see some of those guys at the fest and you talk to them and it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's just, I just don't have the space for it.
Yeah. I don't have the technical understanding of it either. I mean, I think if I ever got into these tubes, I just know that you don't want to cross the certain cathode or anode if you don't want to get a nice little shock or something. But, you know, it's a part of, you know, go ahead.
No, I could just imagine, like, you know, if you're in your final years and you're looking for like your first radio or something that you don't have anymore and that you would want, you know, that might be a good place to go. You might find it, you know, if I found my first HT, you know, like, oh man, I used to love that thing. I wish I had that back. Or, you know, it's kind of like you always want your first car again. Like you're like, oh, my first car was this and I wish I had it again. Well, not my first car, but some people
say, I don't know. My first car was a Dodge Caravan.
I was like, oh, I drove that when I was a kid.
Yeah, good on that one. Yeah, I think with Boatanger for me, I get the nostalgia to them. I understand, you know, how great they can be and the sounds that come from them because of the construction and the original, you know, old, you know, solid, not solid, say tube and wire technology and stuff like that. And I just, yeah, they're good. I think overall, it's one of those things that, you know, you got to have a flavor for it. If you like those types of electronics, then you'll be drawn to more of that. But I think, you know, my generation, when I get farther down into my older years, I might be complaining about the old solid state stuff and, you know, how my waterfall isn't as fast as it used to be, or, you know, how many, you know, total, how many frequency bands it can or cannot cover, and, you know, how all we used to have is DMR and digital back in our day.
Yep. Yeah, sorry. That'll be interesting times.
So, sorry about that, guys. I accidentally unplugged my mic.
No problem.
Now why am I not going?
Todd had a tube malfunction. Sorry.
Yeah, it happens.
All right. So cool. So let's kind of wrap this up a little bit. And, you know, so from a standpoint of a new ham, what last bit of advice do we want to give he or she that if they go to one of these festivals, what would be the thing that they want to take away from, you know, going into it?
I would say enjoy the event, walk around, meet people, talk to people, and soak it all in. But for my personal opinion, I wouldn't be going there to shop for new equipment for a new ham shack.
Yeah. Okay. How about you, Todd?
Yeah, I'd just say absorb it and, you know, just enjoy and take it all in and see. You know, everyone might have a different experience. Some people like it more than others. You know, I enjoy it, but I couldn't go this spring, or I couldn't go in the fall. I had a work issue I had to do. I was planning on going, but it's not like oh, I missed it like the end of my life. But
yeah,
it is definitely it's good experience. And like I said, I sometimes like to listen to people. Like you'll be, you know, a vendor, they'll be talking, and sometimes you can just sit there and listen about what they're talking about, and you pick up a lot of stuff. I know that when we were the guy that was on the Ed Fong antennas, he was talking to a customer or a potential customer about how they worked and stuff. And I was picking up some things because I own two Ed Fong antennas, and it was kind of like, oh, I didn't know it was like that. I get it. So mm-hmm.
Okay.
So yeah, I would just enjoy it, and you know, don't expect too much, but don't, you know, just go feel what it's like. And like I said, you know, it's a good time. I mean, I've always gone with you, Eric. I know we go in like sometimes as a group or whatever, but it's just good to kind of walk around and, you know, hang out and talk and see stuff. And then you get ideas and, oh, I want to do that. Or so, I mean, you never know what you're going to get. But like I said, I just like walking around and talking to people and hearing their ham stories and where they're from and stuff.
Cool. All right. So I think kind of three things from that is, one, obviously, you know, get out there, hang out with people, socialize, just enjoy the experience overall. The one thing we didn't touch upon that our club kind of does, and maybe you might be able to find a club that does it. A lot of these like local festivals, they, you know, the clubs like to get together earlier for breakfast before they go over. That's a great time to just, you know, start the social aspect with a cup of coffee, get the day going. And then when you get to the festival, then you get a couple of guys and gals that are already there with you, and you can kind of go in and, you know, let them kind of lead. Those that are, you know, that are seasoned fest guys, ham fest guys, are going to know where to go and what direction to kind of go in. And they may end up, you know, being nice and ask questions like, hey, what are you in the market for, or what you're looking for? And, you know, and it's go with the expectation. I think we all clarified is that you don't want to go in to buy your first radio. You know, if you happen to stumble into a good deal, make sure you got some guys with you, gals with you that understand how to look at the radio, examine it, maybe test it, ask the questions, you know, that type of stuff. That'll at least give you that better assurance that, you know, what you're buying. But don't go with the idea that you're going to buy the radio there. That very rarely ever happens. And we all kind of come from that same circle that, you know, it tends to be the stepping stone to getting to the radio you really wanted in the end. So just skip over it, you know, work towards getting the goal of your radio that you want to start with and go from there. And then, you know, take in everything you possibly can on every festival, because it comes around at least maybe once a year, if not twice. So make sure you get out there as much as you can and go check it out. You never know what you'll experience, and you never know what you'll get out of it. And if anything, you'll walk away with some great memories. So, you know,
bring your HT.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
Oh, there's a whole discussion we can have on what frequency do we use when we go to the festival?
Yeah, bring your HT. There's a lot going on the.
Yep. Yeah, or scanner if you just want to listen to how many other people are yeah. every channel. Because actually, that's a good tip. That's a good tip we should have talked with or led with, is that bring your HT and listen for the good deals, because there's a bunch of guys that are always relaying each other on either side. Hey, I got this deal over here, blah, 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 looking for this. And you might actually be able to get, you know, a score or something, you know, way before you get over to that side of the
event. Yeah, be the man in the middle.
Exactly right. Yeah. It's a spoofer attack. All right, cool. Well, hey, thank you again for joining the Live Free and Ham podcast community. Remember, if you haven't subscribed, you can always connect with us in the show by leaving us a review on iTunes or our website. And again, if you do definitely leave a review, we'll definitely make sure we read it in the next show. And you can connect with us on social media to get all the latest information, shows, and content. And as always, you can support the show through our Patreon and buy us a beer links. And those are all in our show notes and our website. And every bit always helps promote the show and gets us, you know, that much closer to, you know, giving back to the community. So, and lastly, always you can contact any of our hosts all by going over to livefreeandham.com, and all of our contact information is there. So thanks again for listening. And from all of us at Live Free and Ham, 7-3.
7-3. 7-3.